When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
It's the man, it's the man, the myth, the legend, Samuel Goodman.
Right back at you, dude. Brand new author, kick-ass book.
Oh, thank you.
What you been up to, man?
Trying to stay out of trouble. How about yourself?
Getting in trouble.
Well, I think that kind of surrounds you, which is a good thing. I always appreciate that.
It keeps things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's been It's been a hot minute. I was trying to think about this. I was like, we have not communicated properly for probably about 2 years.
I think that's what, well, you're right around it. Yeah. I think the last time that you and I were, and we weren't even really catching up. I think I was still at APS. I think we were getting Todd to come out to do some virtual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the last time we were really like.
Yeah, because you were you had left, or you were on the verge of leaving is what it was. And then I had reached out to you and I was like, you left? And you're like, yeah. You're like, I'm going full throttle. And then I think I shot you a couple of Misfit concerts. Like, are you going to the one in Arizona? And I think that's been pretty much about it.
That's it. Yeah, man. It's been wild. I've been really shitty at catching up with most people.
No, don't worry. I'm terrible at it, even with my family. So it's like, if you don't live inside of the household, I probably don't contact you. My sister tells me all the time that I'm really terrible in communicating with people.
Oh yeah. My family yells all the time because I do the read the text message, set it down thing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then a month later it's the, oh, oops. Sorry, I'm not mad at you or anything. I just thought I sent you something.
Right. So tell me about your world. Tell me what's going on. Like, what are you doing? Because I see you a little bit of everywhere. I know that you do quite a bit of traveling. I see that you have a new guy in your life. And I mean that in a kind of a weird way. Not talking about your husband. I'm talking about the new guy. The guy that puts out the guy that puts out the album, the guy that shows up.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was going to make an appearance. I didn't want to say his name and him show up.
Yeah, you have to say it three times. Right? You have to say safety man three times a year. Which that's a great video idea. Now that you say that, I'm going to make that video.
Well, I mean, I was watching the one this morning about you sitting at the edge of the bed, or not sitting in the, you're reading the book, and then all of a sudden he pops up at the edge of the bed. So I was like, hey.
I'm writing it down. Hold on. Times three. There we go.
Well, I will tell you, there was quite a bit of a discussion of you. I was talking to Steve Scott last week. I finally met him in person after so many years.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the videos that you put out. And we were sitting there talking about, we can't imagine the amount of time you must invest in putting into these videos, because it's quite a bit just to put a normal video together. And what you're doing is, well, number one, it's different and I like it. And what I also find that's interesting is that you involve your daughter with everything. And I think that Avery must be having such a great time in regards to seeing her dad do this. So
Well, you know, so there's this thing in our house, right, where, and that's some of the problem with the videos. We're constantly running out of space. I'm going to have to find like an abandoned garage somewhere, you know, out in the desert. It's not a shock in our household to like walk in and you'll see Daryl mm-hmm. or you'll see some dude in a mullet wig, mm-hmm. just random inflatable armed man guy just walking around the house trying to find coffee. You know, so yeah, it's actually a lot of fun for all of us. You know, the time thing at first, yes. You know, when I was trying to like figure out how to do that, because I got really tired of like just the stuff that you find, especially on LinkedIn, and it's kind of our main platform, mine at least, you mm-hmm. know? And then I'm like, I don't know. I don't like making this stuff. Like, I just got to make something that I like, because I can't keep doing that if I don't like it. And I just piddled with it for a while until, you know, kind of figured out a workflow that makes it pretty easy. So Honestly, I just usually, if I'm not here, there, everywhere, I'll take a day. I just have like a day on my calendar where that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So I might shoot like 5 or 6 videos and edit 5 or 6 videos. And I can do that in about 8 or 12 hours, you know, out of one day out of the week. But right. I'm only doing it one day a week when I have that. And so when I get a couple days when I'm free, you know, I don't have a lot else going on. I had a 2 or 3 day period where we built like 20 videos that there's just 20 that no one's seen yet, just squirreled away. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if we should talk about inside baseball, but that's what you do with your podcast too. I mean, don't worry, I see the stacks from time to time where I'll flip through and I'm like, holy crap, how's he so far ahead?
Well, and then you also know that I run it right down to the wire.
Well, there's been a few times, but towards the very beginning, I was like, holy crap, how's he so far out? But I was like, you have a lot to say.
Well, I had to take like, and even more so now, I guess I learned that trying to do both, right? Trying to work somewhere and do all that stuff. I just figured out that if I can get a day, like if I can get a day, and especially if I've had time to jot down or write or think up stuff or, you know, do that stuff, I've already got that stuff prepped, which is usually, that usually ends up being my Sunday night, Monday morning. It's just like ideation, writing stuff. Just like that. So like that little thing I just jotted down about the safety man, I'll say it 3 times because I am a little superstitious with Daryl. But that thing, right? So I already know what I'll do with it. I've already got the idea. I get 3 or 4 more of those. I take a day next week. I've got 5 videos, you know, same thing with the pod. You know, so.
But how did the album come about? How did you come up with the idea for the album? Because I was like, I thought it was genius that you showed him, and then all of a sudden the album came about relatively quick. I mean, we'll talk about the bearskin rug at a different time, but I mean, that's a whole.
That's when you leave me at home for a couple of weeks during Christmas and I get bored. Right. So I don't know. I think I was talking to Steve Harvey or somebody. Mm-hmm. And so the Daryl thing, the couple of videos, like, because those started really around leading up to the holidays, free time, right? I had some free time. And he was singing mostly at first, right? He was kind of doing his little sing-along things. And then all of a sudden, in some conversation, it just dawned on me. I'm like, holy shit, he needs an album. Mm-hmm. He needs an album. And then so it took a few days to record that, you know, sometime leading up to Christmas. And then, you can't really see it. You maybe can see a little corner of it. I got his gold plaque up on the wall.
Oh, I can only see like the bottom corner of it.
But it's 8 total strings.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. But
the only reason why I'm doing Daryl stuff is it's fun.
Well, but let me ask, did it come about from Safety Fix It? Because remember, Safety Fix It was somebody that was burnt into your head for a long period of time that you talked about. So did that kind of where it stems a little bit from?
Well, for sure. I tell people this all the time. They ask, they're like, where, like, this is too real. Where it feels like something I've experienced. Where do you get the ideas from? I'm like, that's every single one of those ideas are some of them loosely, but they're based on actual things, like actual experiences. That's right. Cool. I mean, so I don't know. Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, because I remember for a long period of time, Safety Fix It was your thing. It was like you talked about that all the time. And I will tell you, every time that I mention that, I try to give you as much credit as possible in regards to that, because that was the first time I heard it. But it was like, it always seems that an organization is saying, hey, you're here. Safety, go fix this. Safety, go fix that. And that was it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's some of it for sure. You know, I was having this conversation the other day, a little bit around the Safety Fix It idea. And really that, in a lot of organizations, man, I don't know what you guys are seeing, but some of that's changed, but I find a lot that hasn't changed, probably more that hasn't changed. It's still probably the norm where we're almost using safety folks as a counterweight to shitty leadership, where it's like, it's okay. Like we'll have these horrific dehumanizing leaders, dare I even say nearly slave drivers in organizations. You throw a couple safety people in hoping to balance the scale out,
right?
Rather than just, you know, maybe just balancing the scale from the begin with, from the very beginning. So, and I think some of the safety fixes stuff is probably in that vein, right? Like we're running around putting out fires because we're, some of the folks that we're working for are the ones starting them.
Right. Well, for sure. I mean, it seems that we try to correct the same problems that we create within the organization, but anything to get us into a you know, the leadership board in regards to talking about metrics and all that kind of stuff. But I think that we can probably start venting quite a bit about that. Now, I got a question for you, if you don't mind. And if you don't want to answer, that's perfectly fine as well. Okay. When did you decide, like, when was the moment in time that you said, I'm done being in corporate America and I'm going to do my own thing? I mean, because I mean, you were doing both for a hot minute, which, well, we can say three, because people think that podcasting is this as easy as turning on the microphone, which is not. But you were doing all three things at one time. So what was the thing that you said, done?
I'll tell you, man. So I remember it very, very clearly. Because I'd already been having that conversation, and you and I'd even had some of that conversation before, right? Mm-hmm. You were trying to tell me some of that. It's like, do that. Mm-hmm. You know? And I was balancing both, and I was kind of picking up more and more stuff where I was using, you know, PTO or unpaid time to go and do stuff. And that was cool and all. It's like, that's great. Because I felt like at the time in that organization, in APS, that we were still, like, there was still value for me to add there. I was still, you know, driving stuff. We had a pretty significant leadership shakeup at the top, and at least under our BU, right? Mm-hmm. And the exact quote, I remember this. I remember this when the exact quote came in and said, we've got too loosey-goosey. The pendulum has gone too far towards this way. And what people need is the stick. Right. And this is from a senior vice president. Right. And then immediately the boss over our group, the director over our group, moved someone else in. And they did the normal thing where it's like someone that had never actually done anything like this. Like, well, they were the, you know, director of operations over the call center. Surely to God, they can handle something as simple as safety. And I owe them a favor. Right. One of those things. Mm-hmm. And I remember the meeting. We were in a meeting, and this particular person got up in front of kind of this entire group. And basically was talking about undoing like so much of the years of work we'd put in stuff, right? And replacing it with this new ingenious cutting edge idea that they had just discovered from a conference called behavioral based safety observations. Right? And I'm trying to have this conversation. I'm like, we did that and we stopped doing that and we were doing this. And I remember this argument, and I basically stood up in that meeting and quit. And I was like, I'm not going to do them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell anybody to do them. And they're like, you will. I'm like, no, I won't. Before I left the building that day, my resignation was in. What about notice? I'll give you 2 days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those deals. And it's like, well, you can't give us, would you give me notice if you're going to fire me?
Nope.
Well, no, well, I'm not giving you notice. I'm firing you. You know, and then that was kind of it.
Now, did you, when you got back home, did you have the small panic attack? Did, like the?
Oh, dude, I had a panic attack 3 months after I quit.
Okay.
Because you know how this goes. Mm-hmm. It's like things are going great. Things are going great. I quit. Things are stopped going great. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. You know how this business mm-hmm. is.
Oh, yes.
It's feast or famine, bro. It's always feast or famine.
Yeah, no, it always isn't. It's kind of when you get more and more into it, you kind of see how it is. It's like it's the peaks and valleys. I could tell you that Christmas season, unless there's a fatality or a significant injury, you might as well enjoy those 6 weeks because they ain't anything going on.
No. Well, I found, and I don't know if it's just some of the folks I spent time with, my past couple Christmases all the way up to like Christmas has been kind of busy.
Oh, that's
like,
good. That's good.
It's weird. But then I'll hit summer or something. Mm-hmm. Mine seemed, I don't know. I'm sure there's some pattern to mm-hmm. it.
Right.
So like the past year is a great example. It was like nonstop. Like just too much almost for a second, and then a little bit of a dip, and then right back to it, and then hit Thanksgiving, hit a couple of days between Christmas, and then the past few months I've done basically nothing other than make videos. But now this month I'm mm-hmm. like go 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 go, and then I'll hit the next one where I'll be like, oh shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's the peaks and valleys of this thing, but I enjoy what we get to do, but it's always interesting on how it works. Now, I will tell you that I have stood back for a little bit and I've been looking around, and I don't notice if you have come to this realization yet, but there are podcasters that are out there that have, I'm not going to say what you have as a gimmick, but what mm-hmm. you do, they're imitating. And I mean that in the best of ways. There's some people that try to imitate you as best as they can. And
yeah,
What are you thinking about the impact? Because I remember years ago, I told you that this was going to be the case.
Yeah. I'm flattered by it mostly, you know. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating, mm-hmm. you know, with particular things. The reason why I've been over is pick this up. It's a little frustrating mm-hmm. when you see all these coming out now everywhere. Yep. Around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, but there's almost content that you do that other people do, but we don't prep is what they say. But I will tell you, it's almost like watching a duplicate of your show. And so unless you guys are on the same brainwave, I have no idea how it becomes so identical.
You know, some of it is that, I think, but some of it's not.
I would go with the nod, but okay, but you're very kind.
I don't know, man. There's certain things that it seems like we plug into and pull out of the air, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, you're giving me, yeah. Hold on. Where's the Sam I know? This guy's way too kind.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess the wisdom of assuming stupidity before malicious intent. Mm-hmm. Right?
No, but I mean, and don't get me wrong. I remember when you first came onto the scene, it was just so different the way that you approach things. And I'll tell you, I still talk to a lot of consultants that are out there that they're always amazed with the content that you're able to come up with. And I will tell you, the starting points thing that you've done, I know that you did the cards. I know that you have the app version. You have the different translation. Genius move. And that's just talking about product that you've done. And I still look it back at Safety Sucks as you did something that most people wouldn't dare do, where you decided to say, hey, this is stuff that nobody's going to tell you about. This is shit that nobody wants to talk about in regards to what happens. And so if you're going to get into this mess, here it is. And I mean, I think that right there between the podcast and how you came in with that book, I think it took you places that most people probably did not expect you to be at right when you started off.
No. Well, yeah, for sure, man. That's been a huge part of it. Right. I mean, if I think back on it, I mean, just that. Yeah. The universe leaves you Easter eggs, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to stumble over them a couple of times before I realize that it's probably the right thing to do, or to pick it up and go, oh, this is a good idea. Yeah. It's like those stupid cards, man. I was very weird about putting out the cards at first, but I kept hearing stuff from leaders I kept spending time with. And we kind of having that normal conversation that I think is a healthy conversation to have. Is like, no one has a list of questions. Like there's not the list of questions. And then a leader told me, he's like, well, but just give me some questions. Mm-hmm. I'll come up with the rest. I'm like, oh, okay, I can bite on that. Because there's always that fear in the back of my head, right? That it's just going to be that normal thing that we tend to do anytime you have a list of anything. It's like, well, this is the list. You do the list and that's it.
Right. Now we're set.
Easy peasy, right? Mm-hmm. Done. And we're going to start counting how many times you use that list and, you know, the spiral.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I look at it and then my question about the cards in the app, because I just want to have a better understanding if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Do you update the app with more questions as they come about?
So that's the plan. The app that is out there right now sucks.
Okay. Most people wouldn't say that, but okay.
There's not been a ton of promo behind the app. Okay. Most of the promo has been behind the cards. And I've not even promoted the cards. Like, the cards grew organically up until the past month or so. Mm-hmm. Like, other than just a little bit of stuff, like I started doing some of the little starting points videos using some of the questions. I didn't push on it though. And so the cards grew almost entirely on their own. Like, people would hear about the cards, a little bit of conversation. People would pick it up. They'd go, holy shit, this is cool. Mm-hmm. Other people would see it on site. People would share it here. They would share it there. And then, you know, they just started moving, right? They just started moving pretty good. But the app was more of, okay, this is an idea. We've got to get first to build wins. We've got to get something built. And so it's the first one, but it needs about 3 or 4 more revs before I think I'll be. I mean, it works. Mm-hmm.
It does what it's supposed to do. So if you decide to update it, will this kind of be part of what the initial person paid for? So it will automatically update. It's not going to be like version 2.0.
Included, right? Okay. So there's a couple things that I want to do with an update. because back to this business, I know I'm preaching to the choir, man, but I'm always kind of looking for things that can help me be a bit more selective about where I go.
Right.
Right. So in our house, we call it non-SAM revenue. So things that don't involve my hands, like in there. Right. And then just, you know, from a more long-term kind of thinking, things that are just valuable to the business without me. Right. Those kind of things. So the thought with the app in kind of future revisions is back end development. Right. Real-time customization, right? Not only from my end, but being able to provide that at an enterprise-wide solution, right? That kind of idea where it's, you can go in as a back-end administrator and load in different questions. Right? You can load in additional things. And then coupling that kind of with, it has a very simple note-taking journal feature in it. And then some type of probably AI-driven solution to pull out kind of themes and even risk levels right out of some of those conversations, but keeping it very simple on the front end user side and really pretty simple on the back end user side. Right. So it's just still just the deck of cards,
right?
You know, just some basic stuff. Like I want to be able to like shake to shuffle, like that kind of stuff. And like all kinds of, you know, different things to do with it. There's just a couple things where I think we can take it. Cause right now the only way the app works is person to person, purchase it in the app store. I want some level of enterprise something for it.
So would you white label it? Is that what you're thinking about as well or no?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. So some of what I've been doing over the past little bit with them is a different type of licensing deal with them. Mm-hmm. That's just starting with some of the licensing stuff. So I worked with Sunoco to license the deck. You know, and what's been cool about that is, you know, basically letting them put them in their branding.
Right.
Because most of it's just a branding thing. They don't want to customize the cards. I just want them blue.
The black ones are fine. Yeah.
But it's been that, right? It's like we want them with your logo and our logo on them. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of some of those deals. So that's been a pretty interesting concept too. Something that I didn't really anticipate. Right. Mm-hmm. This idea of like, oh, there's probably some licensability here, you know? So as you kind of mentioned that with the app, you know, there's probably some really great opportunity there too, as well. My mind has been in the cards for the past 6 months.
Yeah. If you're in Vegas, that means something entirely different, but we're good. No, but I don't know. I just keep on looking at it. And I think it's such a great idea on how they come about in regards of what they're doing, at least for people that are, you know, starting to get into this, their conversation starters, exactly what the purpose of the card is, their starting point. And of course, the creative genius that's behind it, which is you in regards to the stuff that you're doing with it. I mean, and I will tell you, and this is not a joke as I say it, I don't have my laptop in here with me. I wish I did before I could show it to you. Your sticker of Safety Sucks is on my laptop because I have like tons of stickers on my laptop, but that one I have in a corner section.
Yeah.
The question I get the most, what is that about? People want to know what it is. It's like, it's not mine, straight up somebody else's. And then I tell them about the book. It's like, really? There's a book about that? I'm like, you have to see it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see those stickers here and there, man.
No, I mean,
I still
have some of the originals. I still have did you remember the coffee metal safety one?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I remember you sent these to me.
I'm looking around because if I've got one, I need to see it. But I've got the, I don't know. Hold on. I've got to look. I don't see it. But I've got the other big one that people like with the stickers is the safety dumpster fire sticker.
Oh yes, I saw the hat. You posted the hat recently, so
the hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one that people are like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, Daryl stickers now.
No, very
people
cool.
People have been doing like the safety going to get you. Uh-huh. Like that's the one that people for some reason.
No, I mean, you have all so many great ideas on the stuff that comes about. And then besides that, you're doing that and then you're going around and you're presenting to people. And what I like that you do is that you're able to talk to leadership, but you're also able to talk to line level people. And what I think that we see a lot of the issue with the industry is that there's nothing really customized for them. And I think that that's such a one of those things that gets skipped so much because nobody's talking to them. And then automatically, if you go into consultant mindset, well, if you're marketing to the line level people, how are they going to get the person in? Because they have no concept on how they're going to get the money to get you in. That's not the that does not seem to be the driver for you. Now, I could be you know, speaking out of turn here, but in regards to when you start getting so many people talking about what you're doing and then saying, hey, this is the guy we need to bring in, I think you're doing it the right way.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Flying by the seat of my pants. Mm-hmm. I think of a lot of that. And I think anybody that tells you they're not is probably lying to you a little bit. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's the teams I find myself in front of more than anything else. You know, usually mid-level leaders, frontline level, like manager down to frontline level leaders, like that kind of bucket of folks. Mm-hmm. That's usually where I find myself having conversations, you know, a random conference here or there, you know, but mostly that, mm-hmm. mostly that. And safety teams, a ton with safety teams. Like that's a big one.
But the middle managers is, for me, at least how I look at it, they have the most difficult job. Because besides that, they have to smile upwards, they have to smile downwards at the same time, too. They have, they have to make both sections happy. That's probably the most difficult group to be able to interact with.
Well, it is, because, I mean, they're trying to filter in both directions sometimes. Bullshit from above down and bullshit from down up. Mm-hmm. Or even good news from up down, bad news from down up, while acting as an umbrella to the people beneath them and getting rained on with just hailstorm of corporate love sometimes from above. And then they've got safety folks tugging on their arms. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of rip them in half too, and environmental over here and some cap consultant over there. And I'm with you, man. I think they're in the toughest spot. And I think they're the ones that a lot of the question that I spend time with them trying to work through in their particular world is like I like this stuff. I love this stuff, but tell me, like, what do I do in this situation? You know, and I think that's the funnest conversation because that's what we were doing at APS. We were just figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Like, how does this actually work though for us? Right. Like, yeah, I get that. Like, I like that and all. But what do I do?
Well, I have to tell you, so from the last time that we've spoken, things have changed. I remember you used to not mention that company by name. You were very quiet, very secretive about
mentioning
that. I know, but now it's so different. Because I remember, you know, there was a few times that I had questions that I was like, I know I can't mention it. So we'll try to skirt around it.
I have no affiliation, no association. Mm-hmm. With Arizona Public Service. Now, I will say, though, like, I don't know how much time you guys have been spending with them, but they're like Palo Verde as an example. They were the resistant front in mm-hmm. the beginning, and everything else was like, hell yeah. And that's completely changed. Right. So, cause I catch up with those folks pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just met with their, what was he? He's like their site vice president of operations. I went and met up with him the other day. And you guys, I'm sure you probably know Heather and all, like, Heather's the hop leader there. And I meet with Heather at least a few times a month. We just catch up, you know, to kind of vent about life. And, man, they're like when you're listening to a senior ops person, that's like, hell yeah, I don't know. We're going to figure it out. I like this. Mm-hmm. That was not the PV I knew. Right. And so to see them kind of like out there, you know, starting to fly with this stuff is amazing. It sucks to see maybe some of the rest of the organization taking some of those, you know, pretty normal steps backwards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still think, man, I don't know. I still love them. I hope they do great with it all.
Well, you mentioned the good parts. And I mean, there's always good parts and bad parts, regardless of where you work. And now that you're seeing that they're doing well, what do you think about all the stuff that we're seeing now with people rebranding Hop into something else? I mean, they call it Hop. We might as well call it Hop Light. What do you?
Well,
and I'm being courteous by when I say Hop Light.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having flashbacks to some folks I spent some time with here and there, folks in our world, right? That are I would call them great consultants. In a very icky consultant way, mm-hmm. right? Meaning that yes or no, ma'am, whatever you tell me to say, I got you, I'm going to say it. And I don't think he can be like that and do what we do. I don't know. Where I'm going with this is yeah, I've seen that quite a bit, where it's like, okay, we're going to rewrite the principles a bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to make those a bit easier, a bit more palatable, really. A bit less anxiety inducing for folks that are maybe more on the traditional front. And that thing about blame, just delete it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Like you're missing like the entire point here, right? Like right. You're missing the entire point. Without that stuff, none of this stuff you're out here is talking about with learning teams is going to work. Like, you know that, right?
Right.
Like, it's just going to be another blame shame tool.
It's another RCA.
You still hold the same assumptions. You're going to still get the same result. Change the tool. It doesn't matter. I mean, we lived through this with HPI and HP tools, which are insanely impactful when used at the right level of organizational maturity,
right.
Used by the right people in the right setting. Those things are handy. But this kind of hoplite thing reminds me a lot of that, right? Where it's like, just take the tool. Don't worry about the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. That's too hard. Don't worry about that whole. Just keep, it's fine. It's fine. Just do what you've always done. Take this framework, this tool of learning teams. And just like we did with, the HP toolkit, just do that to people. And then when they don't do it good enough, blame them.
It's exactly what's going on, and I get concerned because there's so many tools that can be used. I was at a meeting recently, and somebody was almost putting it like HRO versus HOP, and I was like, I don't know if that's really where we're trying to go here. They were like, you should use the concepts of HOP, but everything should be based around HRO, and I was like, hold on. These are almost supposed to be parallel on how they work. Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know your feelings on it, man, but I mean, that's what I see. I mean, if we're practicing in those, if we're practicing it in the most realistic way, right, we're not shutting the door on anything that works. We're not shutting the door on great ideas that live outside of maybe those five principles. But, I don't know, man. I get tired of like the this versus that conversation just altogether. Mm-hmm. It's just boring to me. I don't engage in it. It's just boring. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think some folks out there just, you know, it's just a, you know, they were selling RCAs last week. It's going to be hot this week. It's going to be something else next time.
Oh, I love you. I so love you so much.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just rebranding. It's a rebrand is really what's going on. So now
I get it. I don't know. They're in it. I tell this to everybody, man. I think I'm good at what I do. I think I'm a good practitioner. I'm a shit business person. I did not get into this for the business. I like money. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not an MBA. I'm not in it just for the money. I'm a bit of a purist with this stuff because you live in it and you see what it does, man. Right. And you don't want to, I'm not willing to cut those corners just to make a little bit more.
Right.
But those folks, they are. That's right. What they do.
No, there's some people out there that they straight up just whatever.
They'll sell you a hop today and a used car tomorrow. Like, yeah. They're just good.
It's definitely flavor of the week. So I have a question for you, and this is going to be a self-serving question. So I apologize because I'm going to, you know, let you know that. What'd you think of the book?
I like it. I'm still working on it.
Okay, it's a thick one. It's not a small book.
So I've been doing the thing where you're like, go to this. I've been kind of like bouncing there. And I really liked it, dude. I really liked it so far. I've been moving and shaking a little bit over the past couple of weeks, so I haven't got a chance. I just got back from Nashville last night.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's still here. But so far, man, I'm digging.
Okay. So I'm going to say this because I'm on your show, and I normally don't talk about this. So that's the book. That's Safety in My Opinion. I took one of those moves out of Sam's closet in regards to the things that he does. And then that's it.
Look at that.
It ended up being a trilogy when it was all said and done. So the next one is called Safety Mutation.
Nice.
And I'll have that out on Tuesday of next week. Because I couldn't shut up, apparently. I learned that when it was all said and done. I had way much more to say than what I originally thought I did. And about after a week of putting the pen down, I realized that there was a lot more to to cover. So when it was all said and done, it's three books. I figured that I should not release all three of them at one time because that would be an idiotic move in regards of doing that. And it's, believe me, definitely not a money grab because I keep on trying to give these things away as much as possible. But I kind of realized that there was more stuff to talk about. And I'm kind of upset about our industry to some extent. Some of the things that we do, not necessarily just as practitioners, but just overall. And I think that that's where safety mutation came about. And then the last one's called safety transmission. And I finished that last week in regards of putting everything together. So finished the audio recording yesterday, I think it is. So that one will be out on the 13th of June. Then 13th of May is safety mutation. And then I'm done. Yeah. I don't think I have anything else to say. I think I've accomplished everything I wanted to say.
Yeah. That'll change in about a year.
Well, I keep on telling myself. I mean, I didn't think I was going to do one, but Todd kept on telling me for the longest time that I should consider writing a book. I never really knew what I was going to write. When it was all said and done, I had 484,000 words that I had put inside of a recorder. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I have something. He goes, you probably have your second book inside of there. I was like, I don't think I'm doing two books. And then when it was done, I was like, okay.
Three. You wind up with three. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. I don't know. I think you find... there's these ideas that you kind of stew on for a really long time, right? And I don't know. I think if you find that they're not leaving, you need to do something with it. Mm-hmm. What format that comes out in, I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, is that a book? Is that anything? Right? Is it a stupid video with wearing a repurposed Bob Ross wig? I don't know. Like, is that what you
got? Well, no, I always looked at the book slightly different because whatever you put on paper, people can always go back to. Now, it's not that it's different on podcasting, but you have to live with the words that you put out on there. And don't get me wrong, there are some concepts inside of that book that they're not going to be normal for most people. But I'm just trying to say, look at the bigger picture in regards of what's going on. So that was the thing. I was speaking to a very close friend of mine that's in this space, and she was telling me that you know that they can just rewind your show, right? And I was like, but that's different because I recorded live. So it doesn't, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it that way. That's not how I'm doing it.
You've put out so many hours, you know, and I kind of hit a point with that with recording podcasts in particular, where you put out so many hours of stuff. It's like, of course they can go back and look at it, but just by the nature of the thousands of hours you've recorded, right? Mm-hmm. And then the thing is, and I don't know, man, I feel this way with books too. It's like you always reserve the right to change your mind.
Right.
Like you can always change your mind, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. People can pull stuff and go, oh, well, can you believe how stupid they were? Well, yeah, you said a bunch of stupid stuff too. But maybe I still believe it. Maybe I've changed my mind.
Well, that's what I always find it interesting in politics. It was like this person voted in this format, and now years later, they have changed their mind on how they see the world, and now they're voting differently. Well, that's what should happen. That should happen.
They learn and they grew. Who would not? Right? Who would ever?
So, I don't know. I just kind of find it always just interesting on how things go about. But I kept on looking around when I was looking at all the books that were out there. And I said, you know, there's a lot of good concept books that are out there in regards to what people are doing with HOP. There's a lot of good concept books in regards to learning teams. Then there's your book in regards on how you take these deep dives of this. I mean, and you have multiple books, so let's make sure that we're clear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one that kind of brought you to the game was Safety Sucks in regards of, hey, look at this other stuff. And I kind of almost took a combination of all that stuff. And I said, I'm going to show you what I see. And then you can tell me I'm crazy and I'm okay with it because you're not going to be the first person or the last person. Because if you take the good, you have to take the bad.
Yeah. I mean, feel free to join either line. Mm-hmm. Right. You like it, hate it, I don't know.
That's why I'm like, hey, here, take the first one, do whatever you want with it. That's the thicker one out of all of them. The rest of them I kind of made them smaller because the first one I was trying to go for 70,000 words, and then I was like, oh, that's quite I've tried to make it exactly how I speak in that book. So people go, there's so many gaps inside of the words if they have the written version. I was like, that's done on purpose because I don't speak like a normal person.
Well, that was some of the best stuff that, and I still hear that about people that read Safety Sucks is the same thing. I'm like, I'm not really a writer. Like
that's debatable, but okay.
Well, you know what I mean? Right. I like the rules of that. I'm not following because that's dumb. It's like that serves a purpose, but I want to write something that I would actually read. And that's going to be as conversational as I can make it, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think what you're saying is, you know, hitting in that conversational vein, you feel like you're actually, especially if you're, you know, people are hearing your voice and they're seeing you out there from the podcast and stuff, mm-hmm. as they're reading it, they're hearing it in your voice. Mm-hmm. And that conversational format, number one, I don't know, it just seems to suck a lot less if you're reading something.
Right.
And number two, if they already know kind of who you are and what you sound like, they're hearing your voice as they read through it. It just seems to make it more enjoyable. Because I got a bunch of those messages, right, where mm-hmm. it's like, I can just hear you saying this yes. as I'm kind of reading through this thing.
That's what I kept on getting at the very beginning was I can hear you saying this. And I kind of chuckled because I was like, that was the whole point. Now, I will tell you, me and the editor, because I had somebody else entirely different edit the book for me, because I was like, I don't want to be the editor, because if I'm the editor, who knows what I'm really saying. And we almost went line by line, word for word on each page where they wanted to change the formatting. I was like, we're not changing any of it. They're like, but that's not going to make sense. And I was like, that's the way that it needs to be done. And then I was going to have somebody do the forward for me. And they had agreed, and they've told me for years that they would do the Ford if I ever wrote a book. But then I got to the point that I was like, I didn't think that it'd be the right kind of book for a Ford. But that was just my opinion, even though I had asked them already. And then I was like, hold on. After talking to the editor, they said, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's your baby, mm-hmm. right?
Just don't call her ugly. No.
Well, and even if it is, maybe you made it to be ugly.
Right.
But it's yours, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. That's where I think, you know, those kind of very generic rules, kind of back to not writing conversationally, keeping it very prim, very proper, because that's what our world accepts. I don't know, man. I think we're starting to find a lot now that no, mm-hmm. like that's cool and all. And some people, that's what they want. But the more and more people that I've kind of bring into my life and meet and most of them have secretly been waiting for most of what we're kind of doing. Like, I'm not going to stand up and scream, and I'm definitely not going to do that, but bring me something real for once. Mm-hmm. Bring me something like, it's okay if you forgot a period. I'm fine with that. Right. Like, I'm not super worried about that part. You know, just bring me something that's not beige and boring.
Right. Yeah. No, but yeah, and that was the other thing too. Like, even the cover, I got issues about. It was like, it looks too dark. It looks science fiction. And I'm like, did you read the book? So, I mean, I don't know.
And we find ourselves in this space, man. I don't know. I think now, and I think it's a great conversation, and I'm deep in that conversation of kind of what we're just talking about, this idea of like, okay, well, how do we do this? Like, help me with the actual nuts and bolts part of this. That's good. You know, that's a very specific conversation that you have with an organization. It's very hard to broadly talk about what you should do, mm-hmm. right? Exactly what you should do. And so, but where I'm going with this is I find myself at least kind of kicking around in my head several different kind of thoughts and ideas and things where I'm like, should I record something on that? Should I write something about that? That I start to still kind of pull back away from, because I'm like, I still don't know if some of these conversations as an industry we're quite ready to have. Right. So a good example of this is this is one of those kind of earworm, brainworm things that kind of sticks with you. You're kind of always thinking about it, right? Especially with this very like polarized nature of safety in particular, right? You could put out the sky's blue and somebody from the other side of this is going to argue with you. That's, no, well, that's clearly, you have no clue what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Yeah. There's quite a few people on LinkedIn that will do that for you automatically and then give you one of their articles from 4 or 5 years ago they wrote from their shitty website that nobody goes to. But
and some of it's like me and probably a lot of other folks. Someone else threw this invitation out there the other day. We'll actually get on the phone with them and talk to them, mm-hmm. and experience a person when you see them, even virtually eye to eye, a completely different person than an internet troll. Mm-hmm. That's their shtick.
Well, I mean, but that's the fun thing. I've invited several people on that do that online, mm-hmm. and they won't show up, or all of a sudden they stop responding. And I just don't get it, because I have no problem having the conversation, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm right. And I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong, because I want to hear where we can meet. Like, a lot of, like, I got some pushback.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just, personally, I just don't do that in comment sections, though.
Right.
Like, that's just not the place, because I see it and I'm like, I'm going to do something more fun than that.
I thought it was interesting because I got some pushback right away when I released the book about, you know, you spoke about Scott Geller inside of your book. And I was like, yeah, because Scott Geller played a huge factor into me wanting to get into safety in regards to once
I led it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like once I found that guy, I was like obsessed with what he was doing. I mean, and I still think that some of the stuff that he talks about is great. It's a great starting point.
There's Scott Geller books in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, and I mean, he's a distinguished professor and deserves and has earned the honor to be called that with all the work that he's put into this field.
And pushed this forward.
Yes.
That's fine. Like, I don't have to think that Scott Geller shits golden eggs.
Right.
Like, if we all agree with each other, that's really boring. Mm-hmm. Right. And pushed it forward, though. That's kind of the point. Right. We pushed it forward. And I think that's where. So this idea, like, and this is some of the conversation that this is what I think when I see that stuff and I see it in the comment section. I keep coming back to this idea of, OK, let's take what we'll call traditional safety, broadly speaking, traditional safety as practiced in many organizations, which is blame, shame, retract, that kind of real basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Stop work cards, observation cards, all the cards you can have, balloons and pastries standing outside the front gate telling people to be more safe, mm-hmm. blaming people when they're not safe enough, like that whole kind of thing that we've done for years. And then if you take this kind of more humanized approach, call it hop safety differently, new view, whatever you want to call it, hybrid approaches that have emerged from that, you know, all these different things, right? And if you put those two things together, right, and even on the worst days, you say with both of these approaches, we still have not impacted serious injuries and fatalities. So essentially, we're going to say we're killing the same amount of people with both approaches, mm-hmm. right? And then you have over here, though, with all of this kind of surveillance, correction, near shock collar electrocution approach to safety, we have reduced, though, recordables of lost time injuries by 50%. Which one do you choose? I still choose this one, mm-hmm. right? I still choose this one, right? I will take the bumps, the bruises, even the broke arms, right? Knowing that we are still caring better for our people. And there's a lot of reasons, right, that go into that, but I would still choose this one, right? And so I think some of that debate misses that point, mm-hmm. with that particular individual in that you're kind of chatting about, that it's like, show me the result. Where's the reduction in total mm-hmm. recordable injury rate? Where's the science?
Where's the science is the wording he likes to use in particular if we're talking about the same person. Well,
it's nice when you create your own science to back up your own model. Mm-hmm.
But that's what all models are. They're ideas that you build and you go, okay, let me prove my point. And then you change the model as you go.
Exactly. So I think that's something I keep coming back to, that idea of, you know, and this place where we're at now about how we continue to operationalize the stuff, embed, operationalize, sustain, which is a very tactical conversation. That's a very philosophical question, but I think we have to answer in safety in particular, but just as organizations, I don't know that we're ready to have that conversation yet. Right. Where it's if they're killing the equal amount of people, but this one takes better care of folks, but this one you get better injury rates. Most of the time we're still going with this one, mm-hmm. right? At least up until this point. So there's this really interesting thing that we get so focused on, you know, it's output, it's those things, it's metrics, it's all that stuff. I get that.
It's bonuses. But it's really what it boils down to, is it's still tied into bonuses.
It's all that there is to experience in life, and work is life. Is it just the measure? Is it just constantly improving performance, constantly improving profit, a constantly improving number in whichever direction it goes, or is it more than that? Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that I don't know, man, I'm kind of mouth vomiting here, but it's just an idea that keeps kind of kicking around in my head. It's like, I don't know. There's something that I want to dig into a bit deeper there. Right. I don't know if that's going to be with writing something, but
let's see. Author's not sure if he's going to write something. Hold on. No. Yeah. I mean,
it's I'm strapped for time. So I'm chewing on it. I'm like, I've got to be a little bit more selective about ideas.
Yeah, but you're also on a plane from time to time. So, I mean, that gives you some level of some free time in regards of doing some of this stuff. Yeah. Even though I still look at some of the things that people are able to do on how can somebody bang out a book in a week and stuff like that. I go, I just don't understand how you guys do that. It took me almost 50 years to get the first one out. So I don't even understand how you're able to pump them out at the level that you were at one point.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're insanity.
Could be part of it.
Different. I won't call it mental illness. Something
could be some of that too. I'll tell you this. I kind of had an interesting conversation last week. I had somebody just kind of read some of the overall concepts of the book, and very well known and respected person inside of our industry, and asked me if I was trying to start a new religion. I was like, I didn't think that it was that serious. Just because I use broadcasting terms. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe.
There is no maybe.
You can move out here and start a compound in the desert.
Remember, I used to live in Waco a long time ago. I think I already have the blueprint for that. So.
Yeah, you got that. So. You just need tank traps. You got to stop the tanks. You'll be fine.
No, that would be definitely something to consider.
Oh man. Yeah, it's wild times, man. I don't know. It's wild times.
So for people that want to know what you have coming up next, where can they find out more?
Oh, I guess the website, LinkedIn. Those are kind of the main things right now. I've been trying to do a bunch of mini-sode episodes for podcasts around key ideas and just ideas, things that I'm seeing kind of out and about with folks doing stuff. You know, that's I think that's powerful, man, because I think that's a lot of the question that I spend time trying to help leaders not answer for them, but work through. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, okay. Like this is what we do right now, you know, with our disciplinary action policy. How does this work? Those are the fun nuts to crack, right? Let's figure it out. I don't know. What's this look like for you? How can we get where your organization needs to be, you know, without compromising these better assumptions, principles, ideas? Because if you keep on that path, you're going to be a low information organization. And if you're a low information organization, that's a very bad thing. You're a leader. You need more information to make better decisions. How are you going to do that if you keep, guillotining people every time there's a boo-boo? Mm-hmm. But we can't just throw that in the trash can either. Like, we're just going to burn that thing. So what does that look like? So I've been spending a lot of time trying to at least consolidate some of the things I've seen and been kind of a part of with people doing, which has been pretty interesting. So they can find all kinds of stuff like that too.
But the interesting part on how, when you do that, is that conceptually, when somebody's looking at some of your older podcasts that might still like it just discovered you, they can always go back and go, oh, there's a series here of you covering that, which is so important. Because here's the problem that occurs with content creation. Sometimes you and I are so accustomed to just creating content, there's not a focal point on what it needs to focus on. And when you start doing stuff like that, where it's like, hey, you can go back to this and there's a chunk of questions, not necessarily answers, but there's a chunk of questions on what's going on inside of the industry. And that's where a lot of consultants get hung up at, is that we want people to meet us where we're at, opposed to the other way around, us meeting people where they're at.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's this idea, man, that's like, there's a couple of things I think that's important there. There are some organizations that are looking for the secret handshake. They're looking for the, you know, like wiggity wiggity bump chest. Okay, now you're hot like that. Like there's some people that are looking for that. You know, they're looking for the easy button, thinking that, okay, we come in, we have this conversation, there's nothing for us to do. Tell us this stuff, give us the check sheet, and that's hot now, right? We're doing hot. There are a lot of organizations that understand, or some of those that we just mentioned, quickly learn. Sometimes based on who they bring into their organization to talk to them about this stuff, they quickly learn like, oh, wait a second, there's a lot of work for us to do, like a lot. And it's not easy work. It's going to be hard work, and it's going to involve time and resources and people. And it's going to involve maybe parting ways with some things that we've been really invested to, tied into in the past, and evolving things. You know, maybe it's not garbage. Maybe our approach with that thing was just garbage. How do we make that not suck? It's that kind of thing where, you know, they realize that there is this, we've got to figure it out. Like, this is the lens that we're using, but this is where we've got to figure this stuff out. You know, I think that's a huge part of that, man, is that if you find yourself just kind of looking for the next easy something, this ain't it. Mm. This ain't it. But the work that you do is so worth it. Once you get to that point of seeing some of those returns, that conversation we were just having around, if you had to pick one, right, you know, which one are you picking? And I find that with the folks that I spend time with, leaders and safety professionals a lot, that there's something empowering about now having some meaningful work to do. Right. It's a lot and it's frustrating. And sometimes it's really frustrating, but you can learn your path forward from what's already happening inside of your organization. That's a big can of worms, but I don't know, man. It seems to be a valuable path.
Right. But also the problem sometimes is they don't want to look at what's inside of that can of worms. They want somebody else to come in, yeah, and tell them, hey, your baby's ugly.
I'm sure you get this conversation a lot, man. Every organization I come across these days is hot and heavy, pre-event operational learning. And I'm for it. In fact, if I got to choose, if you had to choose between events or pre-event learning, I'm going to tell you to scrap event learning and learn pre-event. Mm-hmm. That's already happened.
Right.
That's already happened. That's you know, even as bad as it was, that's happened. So I get a lot of that. And back to secret handshakes. It's like, well, just tell me how to make that easy. I'm like, well, let me ask you a question. Do you value pre-event operational learning? And then what's the answer? Always. Hell yeah. We value pre-event operational learning. Do you make it possible to do pre-event operational learning within your organization? What do you mean? Do you give people time and space to do it? Do you give them resources? When it comes down to it, if one of your leaders says, hey, I've got to pull Bob and Jane off that production line and we're going to have a 15% reduction because I don't have anybody to backfill them to be a part of this pre-event learning team, do you say yes or no? And they say, well, hell no, we don't do that. We can't pull people off production. So you just answered your own question. You do not value pre-event mm-hmm. operational learning, because if you value pre-event operational learning, you will put just as many resources, time, money, people into it, just as you would anything else that you say you value within your organization. And so I find that that's a huge part of this conversation. There's a lot of people that want it, but they want it to be magic.
Right.
And it's not. It's hard work. And that's an answer that some people don't want. There are plenty of people out there that will sell you that magic answer, but they're lying. It's fine. But it's not magic if you want to do it the real way.
Right. There's consultants out there. 90 days. Yeah. I can have your organization change in 90 days. I was like, please show me what that looks like, because I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you do, man. But, you know, if it's one of those conversations and like that pre-vetting conversation, because I'm pretty particular, but being back to being a bad business person, I don't want to work with everybody. It's not my goal. I want to mm-hmm. work with people that want to work with me specifically and that I want to work with specifically.
Right.
So if I ever have them give me the magic answer conversations, mm-hmm. I will gladly refer them to those people.
Well, and that's kind of, and we normally do a kind of a vetting call is what it consists
that's
of.
What I do, yeah.
And then we do that and I go, we can have this conversation, but there is a possibility this might not work out. And do you know who we are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but doesn't necessarily mean that what I have is going to work for where you're at. I mean, we can have the combo, but it doesn't mean it's going to work.
Well, that leads me to another question, man. I mean, do you guys find yourself in that position? Because I find myself in that position on that end. That's why I do the vetting call. I'm sure that's why you guys do the vetting call. I want to know where you're at, what you're looking for. Are we doing this for the right reasons? Like mm-hmm. all the kind of basic questions. Does this sound like it's going to be fun? Which is one of my rules. It's got to be fun. And that doesn't mean not hard. That doesn't mean not right. suck. It's, that doesn't mean any of those things. It's just got to be interesting and fun, or this is going to suck for both of us.
Right. the guy that I do most of the work with, he's about the fun. And if it's not fun, I mean, he's of the age that he can do whatever he wants.
Well, but, yeah, I don't know, man. Even if you're not at that level, I think you should still focus on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Bad business person. I still find every now and again, do you guys find yourself in a place because what you said made me think of it, where you go, did you do any research
right.
about the stuff? You're surprised that this is what we talked about?
there's a lot of questions that come about normally in regards of, do you really understand what you're asking for? And then, I mean, sometimes people get hung up when we do the first thing where I call it the 5-slide presentation. Because we only go over pretty much 5 slides and it's 2 hours. And people go, why would it take that long? Because you're going to have a lot of questions after I finish this 5th slide. When I get to the end of the 5th slide, even though it might be 20 minutes in, the next hour and 40 minutes, I have a funny feeling you're going to be asking a lot of questions.
Yeah. Well, I find that too, right? Where they're with this stuff, a lot of folks are kind of approaching it with that old school training mentality where it's like, hey, we want you to come in for 2 hours. And it's like, okay, so about a 30-minute presentation. And they're like, no. Like, we want you to talk for 2 hours. I'm like, you don't understand how this works. If you want to go up to an hour, we'll do the hour, but I need the second hour to just be open. Like, because we're just going to sit there and talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have a very conversational group, we won't even look at the slides. I'll show them the first one and the next they'll run with the rest of it.
Right.
So there is that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's a bit of a misunderstanding there that some of these concepts are so thought provoking. Sometimes rubbing people the wrong way in a good way, you know, especially if it's their first time laying eyes on stuff like this. Right. And that's the most powerful part. The slides don't mean a damn thing.
Right.
It's the conversation that follows. That's the important part.
It's the conversation that's the most important part, at least we align exactly there on that. Where I have the issue is where they want the overview. Give me the overview. Yeah. Because then all of a sudden, if they can understand the lingo, all of a sudden I know it. And we won't do overviews because of that. It's like we will talk, but we will not do an overview. You need to do a workshop because you're not going to understand. An overview is great, but only if you've done it before and you need kind of maybe a tidbit of a refresher, but not as a starting point.
Overviews coming in handier. Like, so I do a little bit of those, but only after, right? Like only after they have a pretty good core group of folks that are already trying to lead this internally. And maybe they're in that place of going, we need to spread this language farther. Like, we're doing the work. Like, our leaders are on board. We're on board. We've got this little hop champion, hop army thing that's happening, you know, how that normally plays out. Mm-hmm. But we want to take the message farther. Can you help us? Sure. Like, that's cool. We'll go have these conversations. But to kind of like one and done it, like, let's just go through. We just want everybody to get an hour of it, you know. Hey, it's a great way if you want to go make a bunch of days, you know, talking for an hour a day, but it's a bad place to leave an organization because they get just enough to be dangerous.
Guess what happens then? The next portion that happens is that somebody says, I'm calling that next consultant that I had on the list. If you start doing it that way, because they're just going to go, I didn't learn anything.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's a wild world. Yeah. So I find myself being, it sounds like you guys are too, just super, super selective.
Best way to be.
Because I don't know, man, that's something about having fun. You got to have fun with it. If you're not having fun, they're not having fun. And if they're not having fun, they're not learning much.
Pretty much. Yeah. Agreed. Well, Sam, sir, always a pleasure. I do appreciate the time. We should do this more frequently, and I'm not saying that because we're on here now. I mean, it's been a hot minute, and I feel terrible because I should be the one reaching out to you because you're doing me a favor. So
no, man, no. I just wanted to connect with you for a little bit, dude. It's good to just chat, man. You know, it's easy in our worlds to get so freaking busy that we're just talking about that at the very beginning. I'm the world's worst texter, just ever. You know. I'm a little bit better with email because my Gmail reminds me that I haven't replied to
them. It's been 3 days. Now 2 weeks now.
You might want to reply to that. Urgent. Yeah. But you just, you know, you get busy running around doing what you're doing, man. And it's easy to not. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we did.
Yep, me too.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all three books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Safety FM and or Radio Big. The content discussed, including examples of analysis, is provided for illustrative purposes only. It should not be applied as the sole solution in real-world scenarios, as it is based on limited and dated open source information. Any assumptions made during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are not reflective of Safety FM and or Radio Big. No portion of this broadcast, podcast, or radio show may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of Safety FM and or Radio Big. For permission requests, please contact Safety FM or Radio Big directly.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool, but financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.